смысле шикарно, знаете. Ну так что я не сказал, что шикарно, знаете. Чего все равно не надо.
Moving on, make please support. Good morning to both the council as well. May please support. I'm Tom Yukinski. I'm here as a representative of the appellant, which is the Commissioner of Labor of the Nebraska Department of Labor. This case concerns an appeal of a disqualification of unemployment insurance benefits. The appellant, I believe, Mr. Berrios, was laid off by road manufacturing. Shortly thereafter, took a job with Custom Rental, who was another athlete. He left after 3 days without good cause. He was disqualified from benefits, and the matter was taken to the appeal tribunal.
Excuse me, one question that I am going to talk to you about. He applied for benefits. Was it from the fact that he was discharged?
My
That's
correct. Yes, he left. And as a result of that voluntary resignation, which was determined to be without good cause, he was disqualified, and then he appealed to the appeal tribunal. At the time, first of all, as it addressed the question about whether the remand is the final order, we have addressed that in the brief and determined that the court did not retain any jurisdiction or leave anything to be done by the court, and therefore we consider the fact that he has submitted it back to the appeal tribunal effectively put the litigants out of court, and therefore it was a final order.
What about the statute 84917 IB, which the court 5B1, the court found that in the interest of justice that there were certain things not decided by the commission, and it remanded the matter to the agency. And so B2 says that the agency shall then affirm, modify, or reverse, and shall file a decision following remand and review in court. And then at that point, the court, if parties challenge the further findings, then the district court can accept and enter an order at that point. Nobody seems to address
B2. I understand, Your Honor. I think the point was that the decision was once submitted back to the appeal tribunal, could be made by the appeal tribunal, and a decision, a final decision made. And therefore, the only thing at that point would be then the parties could appeal it back to the district court, and that's the concern was that based on the errors and also the errors of law that were made by the court in the remanding it back to the appeal tribunal is basically what brings us here today.
Well, it says that it shall file a decision following remand with the review court, which would be the district court, and then the agency will serve it on the parties. The agency decision following remand shall become final unless a petition for further review is filed with the review court, the district court, within 30 days. So until that happens, isn't it questionable whether there's a final order?
Based on the case law, it appears a remand is considered to be a final judgment, and the law that we cited in different brief was that because the court specifically did not retain jurisdiction in its order, and that's the basis for our appeal.
That's kind of the old thing before the statute was amended, though, when there was a question over whether or not the district court retained jurisdiction, and then this newer language was subsequently adopted in 2009.
Yeah, I understand.
Yeah. So I'm not sure about the applicability of the older case given this new statutory language.
Right, I understand.
And what I'm concerned about is that after it's run back from the agency, that's the information from the court. There's no additional appeal on the agency's petition. This new case. So that the case is still continuing on after it comes back. Otherwise, it would go up, come back down, and come back up again. which means we would be reviewing the same thing twice.
That's the argument that comes back. That's what would happen. We come back up again. And also...
But that is not traditionally, it's not what we view as final orders. It looks more like an interlocutory order because it's demanding a fact for further determination or the district court can finally enter its final order.
I see. Yes. The concern was, though, that the prompting, in other words, what prompted the remand were errors of law that went back, and that, in fact, the idea was that each one of the things that the court stated as a reason to remand were erroneous, and that's that, in other words, that they said three things: equitable, that whether the agency should be equitably stopped from collecting the overpayment, whether there should be a hearing with the previous employer about whether he's eligible for benefits, and also this plain error raised that the non-attorney could not represent the corporation as a custom rental. And the fact is that what we've argued in the brief is that even assuming that the elements of equitable estoppel were met, the fact is you cannot use equitable estoppel against the government in the absence of affirmative misconduct, which means deliberate lies or pattern of false promises, and also that there has to be in the representation an inducement of the other person, the recipients, to act. And the thing is, we don't see any of that in this case. And the other thing was the issue about whether Mr. Barris was entitled to benefits from the first employer is irrelevant to the case, which is simply his separation from custom rental, and that was the basis for the separation, that was the determination, that's the source of the appeal tribunal, and nothing else. It doesn't matter about road manufacturing, it's not going to change anything to have road manufacturing participate, because that separation is entirely separate.
Okay, I have a question. So, how were Mr. Barris' benefits calculated? Were they calculated because of his employment with road manufacturing? And he didn't work at custom long enough to accrue benefits through them.
Probably. There's no evidence in the record.
And that's problematic, which is a good thing that it was remanded, right? And so the issue of disqualification, I mean, the Hamlin and Lancaster Palmer case, they very clearly state that benefits attributable to separate employers are disqualified separately. So to the extent that Mr. Barrios was entitled to benefits through road manufacturing, which is the only place he probably had accrued any unemployment benefits, how could he be penalized? You can't, as the department, disqualify him from those benefits.
Yes. No.
Right, you'd agree with that.
No, 48.628 says any separation from any employer is disqualifying. And it doesn't matter whether he's a base period employer or not. In other words, the fact that he subsequently quit without a good cause is used by the department to disqualify someone from benefits, even if it's from a previous employer.
And that totally disregards those Supreme Court cases, where they said the disqualification is to be separated between the employers.
Yeah, the disqualification is to be determined separately. The cases that were cited by the appellee and has to do with concurrent employment, and in this case it wasn't. It was consecutive employment. So those cases are not true. Although the fact of the determinations would be determined separately, but the fact is that 48.628 provides for disqualification regardless. In other words, if you leave without good cause, you are disqualified from benefits. However, regardless of what the previous decision was made, in other words, in this case we assume he was approved, he did receive benefits, therefore he was approved. But by leaving custom rental, he disqualified himself from benefits and earned a 13-week benefit disqualification.
So if he had never gone, if he hadn't been industrious and tried to go get a job and took that job at custom rental, if he hadn't done that, he would have no disqualification.
That's true, yes.
So how does that make sense, especially in light of the Hanlon and Lancaster County case?
That's the practice of the department, because we look at 48.628 and it doesn't say you have to be a base period employer or what kind of employer. Now there's a minute, but I understand your point, Your Honor. That's correct. But the practice. see application 48628 is to disqualify a person if they quit without good cause, you know, that therefore it would be applied retroactively to the previous. In other words, you are disqualifying yourself from benefits, even though you've earned them, you qualified for benefits from the previous employer. The fact that you get a disqualifying separation would disqualify you from benefits 13 weeks.
So from everyone here, from a policy standpoint, it would discourage people from trying new work. Because if they do leave, they could be disqualified from benefits they're entitled to from the other long-term employer.
Yes, ma'am. That's great.
Thank you.
And just for clarification, you had indicated in response to one of Judge Kinbody's questions that what he was applying for benefits basically from custom rental. But we don't have the initial application in our record, do we?
No, that wasn't made part of, the application was not included.
So the ultimate question, and this kind of springs from Judge Bishop's question, is Mr. Barrios liable to repay benefits? That was the ultimate question.
Yes, it is. Yes. All right. Thank you, Your Honor.
Thank you very much. Counsel, are you ready?
Your Honor, may it please the court, counsel. I'm Tom Wagner from Grand Haven, and I represent the plaintiff and the athlete in this case, Barrios. Just a little background here in addition to what you referred. Mr. Barrios was employed at Loom Manufacturing for about 4 years, I believe. He was a welder by trade, and that's the kind of work he did. He ended up in the fall of 2015 of Rome. And by the way, Rome is now what used to be the old automotive Grand Island. But anyway, Rook had a slowdown in business, so they had a layoff, and they let Mr. Barrios and one of them down every they go. And then within a couple of days, he found this job with Custom Manufacturer, or with Custom Rental. So what happened there, when he applied to Custom Rental, he talked to the owner, and the owner, the owner asked if he had a CDL, and he indicated, yes, he had a commercial driver's license. They talked about him driving and setting up for events and dinner and things like this, and then taking down afterward and driving for the company. Well, instead of that, when he went to work there, he was put outside doing, I call janitorial work and painting work. This is not the type of work he was used to, and it was getting cold. He didn't want to spend the winter time outdoors doing this type of work. Now, quite frankly, I'll admit that my supposition is that there was a lack of communication there because the customer rental man did not understand Spanish, and Mr. Barrios had a very limited knowledge of English, and so there was a mix there. But notwithstanding that, my first position I'd like to talk about was Judge Young's order of May 19th of 2017 was the final order. We've already gone through this. In their brief, in their reply brief, they cite a number of cases and dealing with one like this, basically like Rody, who is a case from Buffalo County. In Rody, the district court entered an order and also remanded the case to the county court. Supreme Court then said, well, that was a final order because there was nothing that once they remanded to the county court, that isn't the district court's jurisdiction because there was nothing left to do with the district court. Now, they also cite cases from the workers' comp court. In that case, it starts out as a single judge, and then you appeal that to a three-judge panel. And the same rule applies there as from district court to county court. The three-judge panel issued a decision, But the single judge panel in Illinois, the single judge that on remand, he also issues an order. You know, there's no automatic appeal or anything like that. That's the order, unless there's an appeal taken. Now, the difference here, of course, is 24-9-17, of which the court took reference to it, and which, of course, comes from Lancaster. That is much more familiar with than I am.
I am familiar with it.
Yeah, I'm not very well judge. So, anyway, the problem I have is even saying that, there's really nothing in Judge Young's order that decides anything. He doesn't say Mr. Barrios is or is not entitled to benefits. I mean, it's really, he reverses and remands it, but he expects, you know, more information from the Department of Labor.
Mr. Ryan, would you agree that the remand was still wrong? It shouldn't have gone to the appeal tribunal. It should have gone to the agency. I think the order said it should remand it to the appeal tribunal.
Well, it should have gone to the agency.
Should have gone to the agency. Okay.
I think that is correct.
And you don't have any issue with what the judge did to remand, correct?
No, but quite frankly, that issue about whether the president of the government law can appear or not, that's really irrelevant. I don't, but with the rest of it, I have no problem at all. So, yes, that's fine. That's correct. So, my position is, I think this appeal is premature. I think what they should have done is let the case go back to the appeal tribunal, let the appeal tribunal make their decision, file that the same with the district court, and then either party then can then, within 30 days, make an objection or they can file further, for further review. And so I think this case is simply premature at this point.
Can you speak to the disqualification issue with regard to separate employers? And I know you've done some of that in your briefing, but with Hamlin and the Lancaster and Palmer case, I mean, you would agree, right, that the disqualification goes with the employer and not in this case where he was disqualified from custom rental, should not apply the benefits to which he was entitled to at Rogue.
Your Honor, I guess what I would cite is Gilbert. And very briefly, they say, in light of the mechanism for crediting and charging experience accounts to different employers separately, it is entirely reasonable to determine benefits under 628A in such a way that benefits attributable to separate employers are disqualified separately. So that's what I think. It's my understanding, I don't think it's on the record, but that everything, that all the benefits here, he only worked for custom for 3 days. He had accrued no benefits that I'm aware of with custom. I think he had worked longer than that to accrue any benefits. So, the benefits that he was awarded were taken from the Rogue account, not from the custom rental account. And that's why I made Rogue a party in my appeal, because I thought Rogue should have been, they should have had an opportunity to address that because they were the one being charged. It wasn't custom rental.
Why not do that? The first roundabout at the agency level.
Really, in the agency, you don't have an opportunity to do anything, Your Honor. They set the issues, and I really didn't have an opportunity to do anything.
And the issue set was Mr. Barrios liable to repay the benefits?
Exactly.
Or was the issue, did he voluntarily terminate from custom rental?
Well, both. Did he voluntarily terminate from custom rental, and therefore was ineligible benefits?
Which doesn't address at all the road issue of whether he's
No, and they didn't, and that's why, but I thought it was important to bring Rogue in, in the district court, and that's why I did that. And then Rogue, of course, and custom rental, and the department, I'm sorry, Your Honor, Rogue, or the agency, they both moved to disqualify, and the judge allowed that. But I just thought that was, under the 916, I thought that was the proper avenue, apparently it wasn't. And Your Honor, then finally, very briefly, they argue in their brief that we shouldn't have been able to raise the issue of equitable estoppel because we hadn't raised it before the agency. Like I said, I didn't think that their they never created any meeting opportunity right before the agency. They made all the rules there, and it was, you know, they did everything there. The other point is that the argument was answered in Skaggs versus Nebraska State Patrol. In that case, the court said, in other words, the party to administrative appeal who wishes to raise an issue in district court, whether or not that issue is presented to the agency, must still present that issue to the court as a petition for judicial review. And we did that in our submitted petition. I think that raises a fair that issue. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. The jury time left for you. Very well, matter is deemed submitted. Counsel, thank you for being here today. Matter will be deemed submitted. Thank you.